Y chao. All right, are we good to go? All right, I'm gonna call to order this special meeting of the Board of Commissioners for the Humble Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. It is 6:02. Would you join me in the, I guess roll call first.
Mr. Newman?
Here.
Vice President Coleman?
Present.
Mr. Higgins?
Wouldn't miss it.
Mr. Benson? And President Dale, I just got a text from him. He said he's on the island, and so he'll be here any second.
Okay, so we'll slow walk the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody, like in halftime.
Aye.
Would you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll move right on to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on the agenda. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda. Skip ahead, but so 3 minutes are allowed for each speaker on agenda items.
No, not on agenda.
No, for later when we get to agenda items.
Okay.
And also at this time is when we can, we don't have a consent calendar because this is not a regular meeting, so nothing about the consent calendar. But do we have any members of the public who would like to speak to the board on items not on the agenda? Please take the podium, state your name, and let us know what you'd like to tell us about.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. Board members. My name is Randy Sundberg. I'm the owner and president of G.R. Sundberg Incorporated in Arcata. We're a heavy civil contractor. And we understand that the board is possibly going to enter a project labor agreement with in regards to the wind farm that's going to take place out here. And we just wanted to say that there's should be special provisions in there to hire local folks and especially native folks. We all have families to support here local, and we'd like to see the dollars stay local. So we don't think you should discriminate between union and non-union type folks. We pay the rules just like anybody else does, and I think we should have a fair shot at getting any of the work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks. Rob McBeth from here in Eureka, O&M Industries. We've been in this community for 77 years now. And I want to say hello to my friend, Richard Marks. So I noticed was in the audience here. Hello, Richard. So I've been in the construction business myself for over 50 years. And I want to stress, I am not anti-PLA, and I'm not saying all or nothing. I'm saying we need to have a fair shot for the local community folks to participate in this, whether they're union or not. I think we can achieve that goal if we're reasonable and we listen to all the voices. One of the things that I'm concerned about is there are environmental impacts associated with the possibility of a PLA and a lot of out-of-town folks coming into this area. We haven't even, or you haven't even entered into or started the EIR, but you're looking at possibly entering into a project labor agreement that will have impacts, environmental impacts. I think you should consider that. The other thing that is very important to this area is our housing stock. And if we have a lot of local or out-of-town folks coming in, competing with the locals for that, it's going to exasperate that problem. As you know, it's a huge problem with Cal Poly going on. It was a problem before all this stuff started. It's really going to be a problem now. And it's just going to deplete that housing stock even more. I would ask that you slow this process down you think about what's in that PLA and how the environmental impacts are going to affect that, and look at the local community folks. Again, we're not NIPLA. We want to be able to participate along with the union folks. And I think if we're open and honest about that, we can make that happen. Thank you.
Hi, Pat Hooven, President of Humboldt County Builders Exchange. I recently heard that there might be some rumors and concerns that the Builders Exchange is against the project labor agreements, but I'm just here to assure you that we're not against the PLA. We just want a fair and equitable opportunity for all the local contractors and their employees to get a shot at the work, kind of like both Randy and Rob have said. And we just would like to ask that you guys, or whoever's doing this, the commission, try to keep all the labor negotiations public and transparent so that everybody can weigh in before there's any final decision on the PLA. Thank you.
Hello, thank you for your time. My name is Ben Dalton. I'm a project manager. I have a construction management background. I've been doing this job for 17, 18 years. I'm a local kid, born and raised here. And we are here to ask for your help to buy local. We preach about it all the time, and now we have a chance to put it in practice. My wife runs most of our budget and our purchasing, and we can't buy everything locally, but she tries to make that percentage as high as she can. If it's 15%, she tries stretching 16-17%. That's what we do because we try and practice what we preach. And right now before you guys, you have an opportunity to do just that. You guys have an opportunity to not hamstring our local contractors, regardless of what their preference is, be it union or non-union. I'll give you guys a real quick story that touched base with me about a month and a half ago. My wife and I looked at getting a pre-approval letter for a mortgage. Today, I could not walk into my local bank with 20% down and buy the house I currently live in. It's a modest 1,300 square foot house in McKinleyville based on my income alone. Now, with her income as a private business owner, some documentation, things we had to jump through, you know, the rigmarole, it changed a little bit. But what I bought was 13 years ago under very similar circumstances, similar interest rates as today, and very similar personal finances. I cannot afford that today by myself, despite the fact I bought it 13 years ago by myself. That is a problem for our housing. Now, I know that there are cycles in which we cannot change to be in this room. There's external cycles, world cycles, national cycles, but we have a chance to help our local cycle right now by not bringing in outside people if we can keep as many here locally. And we know that this project is going to be manned a large portion of it, the majority of it, by outside local contractors, because that's the way it has to be. But if we can maximize the percentage of local contractors and local help that we use, be it journeymen or young kids apprentices, we should do that. We have a chance right now to do that. And we appreciate your time and thank you very much for hearing me out.
Well, Tim Hooven, McKinleyville with Hooven Company, and I'm also on the Workforce Development Board for the county, and I'm making these comments as an individual, not representing those organizations. I just urge you to take the time to fully study the impacts of any of the project labor agreements on community stakeholders, businesses, and the workforce development training opportunities before you guys finalize it. There's time, we're far away from any construction still, so there's time to get through this. And it's important that for all the residents to get it straight and get it right. And we need to make sure that all qualified workers, regardless of their affiliation, union or not, have the opportunity to work on these projects. And we should make sure also that the students at CR going through the building trades, or the new program out of Blue Lake that they're working on at the Rancheria, that all those folks that are thinking they're going to get jobs from those programs have opportunities without attending a union apprenticeship program after they finish the first set of studies they're doing. And also we should make sure that local natives, minority and veteran-owned contractors have opportunities. And I think we can have project labor agreement that protects the rights of all the workers and ensures that all the qualified people have opportunities. And I just urge you to take the time to work with all the stakeholders and develop an agreement that meets the needs for everybody. Thank you.
for where you want to take it over?
I can't.
Okay.
You're doing a good job.
Okay, I'll just. We're still under public comment. If anyone else would like to speak, I noticed we had one more member of the public enter who hasn't spoken yet. But if not, I'll close public comment and move on. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your thoughts and concerns with us. Moving on to item 4A, business. Consider adopting resolution number 2023-13, a resolution adopting the final fiscal year 2023-2024 Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District budget.
So moved.
We have a motion. Anybody want to make a second, or do we want to hear the presentation on it?
I'll second.
Thank you. I was feeling well. That's okay. So we have a motion and a second on the budget. Before we move into discussion, do you have a presentation on the budget for us?
Yeah, just really briefly. It is, so we're asking the board to adopt resolution 2023, and it basically does three things. It adopts the final budget, and then the budget policies, and then also it incorporates a 6.2% increase to our port tariffs. And again, we're members of the California Association of Port Authorities. And as part of that, it goes through a committee and all of the ports basically agree to operate under the same percentages. And so we're doing the same exact percentages that everybody else does. And this would essentially really just affect the harbor usage fees. And so every ship that goes in and out of the bay, and that's based upon the tonnage of the ships that go out. There's a harbor usage fee and one other, I forget exactly what it was. And then we also have a tariff schedule for RMT1 and RMT2, but those currently aren't being utilized at this point in time. And so the main portions of the budget are really associated with we were in the preliminary budget. We had budgeted $3 million for dredging, and we approved a dredging contract for $3.5 million. And so we made some adjustments to the budget to find that other $500,000 kind of scripting and saving in a few places, and deferring a couple of things, which is what we're used to doing that at this point in time. And one thing I wanted to really point out, and I in particular, because I know it's Jim is here, and we have discussed this for some time. And that is that at the Fields Landing Boatyard, we left all the funds in the budget for the Fields Landing Boatyard, industrial pretreatment system, that we have. Again, it's going to take time in order to get that implemented, but all of the funds are budgeted, and we didn't cut any of those out of the budget. The second thing was basically to cover the already approved contract with Moffitt Nickel, and the funding source for that is the California Energy Commission, the $10.45 million grant that we had. So those are already budgeted. It's a multi-year contract, and those are the expenditures that we plan to do this year. And then the third is because of the unwinding of the New Market Tax Credits. There was $160,000 of interest income that was included in there. When we unwind the New Market Tax Credits, basically that income will no longer be there. So we removed that income. The district accountant basically prepared a cash flow analysis for us to make sure that we have sufficient funds to cover our bills, and so that we can do some projections on this. And that basically with that, we're proposing to include the $650,000 in the general fund reserve, and that we believe that, as long as we continue to be tight within our budget and really stay within our means, that we should have sufficient cash flow. One thing I really want to point out, because it's something that we had discussed as staff today, was the budget is set up and it doesn't include any money for unexpected occurrences that happen. And we all know that every year there's one or two fairly large unexpected occurrences that happen. And so if those come into play, then we'll either make adjustments internally with those and then report those to the board. But it is just a real life occurrence that we, everybody in their own budget, you have to make those adjustments for things that pop up, and we will do the same. And so overall, we're feeling pretty comfortable with the budget. And when I put together the budget, I was kind of surprised to see that we had talked about this a couple of years ago, but budget's now $12,593,000. And when I started a couple of years ago, it was right at about the $3 million, you know, dollar mark, the budget. And I think the board president had mentioned that, you know, when we're starting to do these larger projects, it puts more and more emphasis on the administration and the requirements that we have to keep track of those money. And we have to really keep our accounts, you know, straight so that we can show to the public and to our funders that we're adequately using the money the way it was intended to be, and that we're using the money wisely. And so first and foremost, I want to thank staff, but particularly Mindy, because she keeps us on the straight and narrow on that side of the equation. And so with that, I would recommend that the board adopt resolution 2023-13.
Yeah. Any questions or comments from the board?
Pretty amazing. We can juggle in $3.5 million for dredging and still keep the ship on an even course, but shouldn't be costing that much. We use a suction dredge. So something we need to keep in mind is, like, we're absorbing it now, but that cost will not go down. And unless we find some systematic remedy to our problem with impediments to dredging, it's going to be a more significant factor in the future.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. my question is, you mentioned unanticipated expenses. There's also probably the potential of additional funds coming in. I know with the projects that we have going on that there's a lot of opportunity for grant funds. And you mentioned, like, the greater administrative cost. And don't need a detailed answer on this now, but wondering how staff thinks about our overhead amounts with the possibility that we might be accepting many, many millions of dollars in grant funds. Have we looked at our overhead or indirect rates in terms of what we need to be able to successfully manage all that, whether it's more staffing or more consultant time or anything like that?
Well, yes, we're always talking about that, and we will likely be coming to the board over the course of the next couple of months and talking about, you know, staffing needs for the district and then making some adjustments accordingly. There's a couple of big items that aren't included in the budget that we've been discussing. Number one is that Chris is we're spending a lot of time and energy on Shelter Cove with FEMA to do the breakwater replacement project. And that's going to be a several million dollar FEMA project because it was blown out in the winter storm, and all of that upfront engineering and everything that we're covering all those expenses, you know, and we're kind of waiting to get reimbursed for that and to get the final authorization. But in the first place, it's a big project, but because it's right in Shelter Cove, it's going to be a big environmental document too that's going to be associated with potential impacts to the tidelands and other things and the shoreline. So that's kind of one of those big projects that isn't in the budget that we're working on, that we're kind of talking about how we're going to ramp up for that. You know, kind of the second is obviously the new terminal project. We've already applied for a $12 million port infrastructure development grant that Rob's working on, and we should find out probably in November. And then at your next meeting, we're going to apply for most likely in the range of about $500 million total project, probably 200 and some million dollar mega grant, with an additional couple hundred million dollar review of additional money that would have to go into that. And so, you know, that will really, really kickstart, you know, this new terminal project when we start applying for and receiving that kind of money. And so obviously when you get when you get grants of those size, we're not gonna do that with your team that you have right here, just with the staffing level.
Oh, come on.
You know, we're gonna have to ramp up on our administration levels in order to handle that kind of activity. And there are several other relatively large projects And Chris and Rob, I don't know if there's any other ones that you want to discuss that are on the horizon.
What was the Seal of Arise grant opportunity that we're meeting with the Coastal Conservancy next week?
Great stuff. I seem to think that there was something about like Nordic aquaculture, and at some point they're going to switch their status and be able to pay more lease payments, and I'm out of touch on their progress on permitting. If I'm out of line, because it's not on the agenda, but I mean, well, they're supposed to get permitted this July.
It's related.
They already are paying.
Yeah, it's related to the income on this. Yeah. So then basically within the last couple of days, the Water Quality Control Board released the permit for the Nordic Aqua Funds for the intake.
It's okay, so, we're making progress on that.
And so that's in there. The Coastal Commission is getting ready to schedule the hearing for the intake portions of the property. It's not scheduled yet, but it's definitely in the works. And the same thing with the Army Corps of Engineers and the biological. I think that's all moving to the final hearing stage at all the regulatory agencies now that this entrainment study and the area production Oregon study is completed.
That's encouraging. Thank you.
I guess the other one I'd like to bring up is because associated with this whole thing, and again, this is included in the budget, and can bring this up within the context of the budget. Within all of these discussions of the larvae study and the impacts of longfin smelt, we've been meeting with all the regulatory agencies. And the incidental take permit that's included in this budget, the line item, is specifically to do the longfin smelt mitigation at the Bay Street property. And so we're currently reviewing it's like 90 page, that's just the application for the incidental take permit. And so we met again today with all of the agencies, and they were all saying they're in favor of us using the suction dredge. But like they've been saying in the beginning, you have to mitigate for longfin smelt and other impacts. And now that we're finally getting the mitigation property and getting this mitigation together, you know, then that could see some big progress in this next year as well.
Oh boy. Anything else from the board before I bring it to the public?
I think we talked about this the last time. The budget process works significantly better than it has for years. And I like the way we're doing it. This budget is, it's not a scary budget. We've had scary budgets. There are a couple of things that I think, you mentioned the administration of some of the potential grant receipts that we get. Is that something that, and this is not maybe for tonight, but is that something we hire a company for, a consultant for, or is that something we hire a staff member for? Because you start talking about these big grants on a project like that, and it's a lot of work, and it's probably not something we want to do in house.
Okay. Yeah,
but we can take advantage of that to build staff, because I think that's always desirable. So it's a balance. Yeah, and there's probably some specialty things related to these different enterprises where we'll need consultants with those disciplines, but more sharp people on staff is always good for the commission, the district.
Yeah, the thing we're going to be discussing this over the course of the next month. I mean, the board's already given us direction to kind of start to work on some of these issues. But just kind of in sort of conclusion on this is that we always look at this in the context of what is your long-term operational staffing needs, and you base your staff based upon your long-term staffing. And then if you have, short-term needs, meaning for just a couple of years, then do, especially in the staffing arrangement that we have, where we have long-term permanent employees, a lot of times on the construction contract management and those other things that are just a year or two, then you bring in outside, expertise that have those as opposed to having those as long-term staff. But that's those are things that we would discuss internally and then provide recommendations.
So when you're on small grants and soft money, you can't staff up. But when you get a sugar daddy of $200 million, that's a long-term obligation and likely supportive of sufficient revenue for staff. So just kind of if then, you know, if that occurs, then I'm sure we'll consider these alternatives at the time.
And not to belabor this discussion too long, but because we only have the one topic on the agenda tonight. Is there anything in the budget, thinking of your strategy of making me drive that car to Sacramento, looking at some of our fleet upgrade? Is that in the budget? And not being completely facetious about it, but if we're dealing with these like larger operations and having to go to, we want to be driving something maybe a little more energy efficient and newer, and also not showing up in a jalopy to meetings to talk about billions of dollars.
Well, we're shed a cop car.
So sort of two things. We talked about this at the staff level. And so in the first place, we're like going for conferences and other things. You know, there's the distinction between localized traffic or transportation and going to San Francisco or Sacramento. And then, you know, for the most part, it's probably more economical for us just to rent a car, you know, than to buy a car for that. So that was something that we discussed internally. And then within the budget for, you know, the Spartina and some of the natural resource grants that we were doing, that we did budget for a truck. We haven't pulled the plug on that because the projects haven't really fully been in. What's that?
The plug in the truck.
The plug. No. Yeah, we haven't pulled for the more localized travel. We had talked about that in some of the grants that we have, because there's a lot of field work that goes on within those. But for two reasons. Number one is last year, if anybody hasn't noticed the shortage of cars, that you couldn't get the cars. The reality is even we were ready and got the bids to do it, but we couldn't get it. And then the project didn't really take off as fast as we had hoped to, but that's in the horizon. But we're not ready to buy it quite yet.
Great.
Instead, we're going to rent a car.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. All right, now, unless nobody else in the body would shut my mouth, we can let it go to the public. Does the public have any comments? Is there any public here? Does the public have any comments on our budget? No, thanks. Thanks for coming.
It's a big load to be the whole public.
I guess we can have a vote.
It's a resolution.
It is a resolution. Does that mean we have to do a roll call?
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Vice President Coleman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else? Adjournment.
I just hope we have
seatbelts. That's right. 30 seconds under 30 minutes.